Hey guys, so is there anything more complicated and uncomfortable to talk about and understand than erections? To get an erection, your brain, nervous system, heart, blood vessels, and hormones all have to work together in perfect harmony. It can be a lot to ask, and can prove to be more difficult based on a variety of reasons beyond our control. Fact is, more than half of men around the world suffer from some form of erectile dysfunction, and only 25% get help from a doctor. Alpha Nutrition has formulated a proprietary over-the-counter male supplement in rigid prescription that is affordable. Best of all, no embarrassing trip to the doctor is needed. And no need to worry, erectile dysfunction is common, it's easy to treat, and their supplement is extremely affordable and effective. Check this out at alphanutritiononline.com. You can order it at alphanutritiononline.com. It's the final day of 2018. That means we're taking a look at some of the highlights from this past year. Looking forward to 2019, I've got some WWE news that I have some very passionate thoughts on. And during this week's What If segment, I look at what if Eddie Guerrero were still alive today. Let's talk about that.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey everybody, welcome to the New Year's Eve edition of the WWE Podcast. The final day of 2018 is upon us, and what a crazy, crazy year it has been for not just professional wrestling, but the world in general. I mean, my God, the things that have happened. But we don't get into politics here. We try to keep the show light because we all like to talk about the thing that makes us escape all of that reality, right? And that is the world of professional wrestling. So this is not a show about politics. This is not a show that's about anything that is down, depressing, or if at least I sound that way, it's based on a product that's not real, right? It's based on this fantasy environment that we all love, sometimes love to hate, and that is the world of pro wrestling. Or if you're WWE, you just make up different genres of sports. Apparently, sports entertainment is a thing. But again, if you like to hear that rant, that's in a couple of shows back of sports entertainment's not really a category because sports is entertainment. So you're a sports simulation organization. But nonetheless, thank you for joining me. And again, follow me on Twitter, guys. If you haven't already done so, I really encourage you to do it. It's at the WWE Podcast. It's the underscore WWE underscore podcast. Some other clown has the WWE Podcast and has about 5 followers and doesn't even tweet. Wish we could kick these people off Twitter. And also, I'm on iTunes, which is now Apple Podcasts. I'm on Spotify. I'm on iHeartRadio. Really anywhere. Anywhere, Spreaker. And also on Patreon. So if you hate the ads and you don't want to listen to any of it, you can get an ad-free version of this show on patreon.com/WWE podcast. So check me out there. You can not only get ad-free for $1 a month, $1, folks, but you can also get on the show. You can have me talk about a single topic for the entire show, and you get a shout out on this show as well just for signing up. So I encourage you to check it out. It's a separate feed. This is the ad-free feed is not one that is included on any of my Apple Podcasts or Spreaker or any of that. It's exclusive ad-free on patreon.com/WWE podcast. So check me out there. I really would appreciate it. The only thing I'd appreciate, and I know I asked for this 4 million times, and I apologize if you're just, oh my God, we'd give it a rest, but you know what? This is a show that I care about. This is a show that I want to see succeed. It's a show I enjoy doing, and it's a show that I enjoy sharing with you guys. And the reason I'm saying that is because I encourage you to give me a 5-star rating and review on iTunes/Apple Podcasts now. It's not called iTunes. So if you have a moment, please do that. It does help out the show, and I will thank you for that. I really do. And over the past couple of weeks, I've seen multiple people do that. And trust me, it does help out in every way possible. And you don't have to spend anything, right? If you're like, oh, he's just trying to sell us. Well, guess what? This costs absolutely nothing other than about 10 seconds of your time. So again, this show is something I love doing. So, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, this is not something I talk about. It's not politics, right? And I don't often talk about things that are even close to being politics on this show. However, Nia Jax has really dipped her toe into this and set me off on Twitter. And I'm going to do my best to stay out of the, or rather stay in the realm of WWE and not go into the outside world of this topic, because there is just too much to talk about when it comes to this, too many opinions, too much tension when it comes to this particular topic. So earlier this week, Nia Jax, actually, I think it was two days ago, Nia Jax commented on a story that WWE had tweeted out. And it was about WWE posting about the women in 2018, their accomplishments. And it said, and I quote, "There's no denying it. The women of WWE brought it in 2018. And when WWE posted this, they had four pictures in this post. It was a collage of photos. And in the photos were Ronda Rousey and Charlotte in the top left, the Iconics and Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and then it had Carmella. Now, you wouldn't even blink an eye as to anything wrong with this, unless you have a racial agenda, or you've been skewed by society and some extreme media bias outlets that I'm not going to name that are clearly geared towards an agenda of everything has to be racist, or if you are not representing everyone equally all the time for everything that you do, you're racist. And I know that Nia Jax, and what she said is very simple. Nia Jax just put the different emojis that have different skin colors for women. There's like a brown, dark brown, kind of a light brown, and a African-American emoji. And then hashtag we're here too. So instead of saying, you know, Nia's here too, or you know, the other women of WWE need to be represented, she took the racial route and basically accused WWE of just identifying the white women in WWE and not taking the accomplishments of the black women in WWE and recognizing them. First of all, and I've had some people disagree with me on Twitter, and that's fine. That's what this is for. This is why we're in a democracy. We can have these discussions. And that's cool. And some of you may completely disagree with what I'm about to say. And you know what? That's fine. We all have opinions. Here's mine. All right? Because right now, I've got the microphone. Right now, I've got the voice. And this society that we're living in, unfortunately, I think enables some people to feel that they are owed something, or that if they see even a flicker of possible inequality or unequal recognition among races, that they need to speak about it and they've got a platform to do it. Well, here's a clue. Every single outcome is not going to equally represent every race all the time. So these people on Twitter that are blowing up that, oh my God, WWE, why are they only recognizing the white women in WWE? Why does it have, and this is what I tweeted out. Why does everything have to be looked at in a racially charged lens? Why do we have to look at it that way? Who's thinking about it this way? Because society is, and the media especially, are poisoning and brainwashing people to think that they always have to see for everything Everything has to be evenly cut. That's not the world, folks. That's not the way it works. I'm recognizing there's bias. Yes, there's racism on all fronts. Everybody thinks of racism as whites against blacks. Everybody thinks that when you think of that, that's immediately what you think of because of the connotations that it drives from slavery, you know, decades and decades and centuries ago. Okay? That's what we automatically think of. However, and does some of that still exist? Yes. But why are we still bringing this up years later? Why is this something that is still, unfortunately, being rekindled by things like this that are not something WWE did intentionally? I'm sure they didn't do it intentionally. I'm coming to the defense of WWE right now. For Nia Jax to put a racist or a... I should say not... I don't know if she's accusing WWE of being racist. I don't think that. But it's on the road there, and it's trying to bring race equality into a single post by WWE. Get a grip, folks. Why does that's not life. That's not life. This is not what life, unfortunately or fortunately, selects those that are the best in their class or have done the best to create the best results. And you cannot deny Becky Lynch has been the number one story of 2018, I would argue. Number one female of 2018. Charlotte, a close second. Okay, you can argue the Iconics maybe don't deserve to be there. But they're a breakthrough act, a breakthrough tag team act. No question. Probably the inaugural SmackDown tag team champ, or the women's tag team champions, I would argue. But to say that they, you know, oh, we're here too, me too, oh, all this life, white lives matter, black lives matter, orange lives matter, enough. This is, look, I'm getting charged up about this, and you say, oh, it's white privilege. What? Explain to me how that exists, first of all, okay, in WWE. Now, this is where I need to draw the barrier and put the barrier down, WWE. Okay, let's keep it in WWE. We're not going outside that because once we do, it is opening up Pandora's box. But for Nia Jax to come out and do this, we're here too. Oh, look how brave she is for doing this. Oh my God. And she probably felt that she could do it because of everything that this society now permits as acceptable to do, or to try to call out somebody for being basically there's inequality in some kind of result, especially the magnitude of WWE and the power that they have. They can't represent one black female, really, for a single tweet. Relax. Oh, it matters. No, why does it matter on a single tweet? And first of all, what have the African-American women done in WWE this year? Let's take a look. Naomi? Yeah, she's probably gotten sidelined for the time being. She's still a very valuable piece of the puzzle on SmackDown Live. And, by the way, main-evented, or the women's division, at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, her hometown, with the SmackDown Women's Championship, by the way. Ember Moon. She's still on the rise. She has not done anything yet. How can you say that she should be deserving of maybe even the top five at this point? She's not. She's not there yet. She's a work in progress. So, what else? Alicia Fox? She's kind of a joke of the women's division. And she has been ever since that she's been a part of the women's division. That's just Alicia Fox's role. And that has nothing to do with race. She could be green. And that's just the way it is. She is not as skilled of a performer by any means compared to the majority of the roster. That's just the way it is. Take the damn skin color out of it. I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of hearing about it from these privileged people. Entitled privileged people that think they're owed something. How about you go out and earn it? How about you take advantage of the opportunity that you're given? Maybe take a chance once in a while. Nia Jax, what has she done? She had a hell of a year. She's faced Ronda Rousey twice. She was responsible for basically it was the punch heard around the world with Becky Lynch breaking her face and causing the match between her and Ronda Rousey to be canceled at Survivor Series. So, and Nia Jax really has recently found her voice in promos, turning heel, what is the best thing that could have ever happened to her. So, I'm not following here. Give me another African-American female on the SmackDown Live roster or the Raw roster that is deserving of some of the top accolades for 2018. I'm not putting them down. I'm asking for facts. Because, as we all know, facts don't care about feelings. Either is or it's not. And I'm all for, let me be very clear, I'm all for equal opportunity. I'm not for equal outcome, because that's not reality. I want an equal opportunity. Well, everybody's on an even playing field. Here is everybody's chance to shine. But the reality and life, folks, life will not follow suit with equal opportunity. You will have people, regardless of race, not succeed at the same level, even if they're given the same opportunity. That's just the way it is. Good grief. So take a chill pill. Everybody that just thinks that WWE is, oh my, for one tweet, Nia Jax, relax. Sit down. And really, like, just be quiet. There's no inequity going on here. Why do you need to make this a racial issue? And that's what you've done. Oh, you're so brave for standing up against WWE. It's against the machine. Oh my God, she's employed by WWE and she's still taking a stand. That's so brave. No, it's not brave. That's not brave. That's just trying to get attention. Knowing that there's not going to be any backlash, because if there ever was any backlash, WWE would be in serious hot water. It's basically like Nia Jax is immune right now because she didn't say anything. All she did was just put a bunch of emojis that had different skin colors. We're here too, implying that all these African-American non-white women are here too. We need to be recognized. Why don't you make an impact and then you get recognized? Do I think people don't see color? No, I'm not stupid. Does racism exist? Yes, it does, in all forms. Not just white on black, my God. But unfortunately, that's the narrative that's been fed to us by the media, by society, by social media. And so all of a sudden, this bleeds into this fantasy land of WWE, and that's why Nia Jax is immune, and she knows that this is going to be viewed as controversial and standing against the man, and my God, look at what she's done. But she has immunity, guys. She has immunity. Because this is the groupthink narrative and thinking right now from society and the world as a whole, it seems like anyway, perceived that this is the new thing to do. This is the new stand we're all taking. Shut your mouth and just do your job. If there's racism going on, I will be the first one to stand there with you. But this is not racism. This is just called bust your ass, do a good job, make an impact, take a chance, and be successful, and the rest will take care of itself. Oh my God. So that is my very trying not to be political rant. That just, Nia, take a seat. Okay? Relax. This is not, oh, I'm scared of the black woman. What? First of all, she's not even truly African American. Okay. Anybody take a look at her? Anybody? Yeah. So this is not what, oh, there's a white boy talking. No, that's not what this is. Good grief. All right. I've said enough. I'm going to go off the rails. Let's take a quick break, and then I'm going to get into a little bit of Sami Zayn news not wanting to come back, or at least not being passionate about wanting to come back. Yeah, that's an interesting story. I'm going to talk about that and, of course, get into my What If segment right after this. Hey guys, so is there anything more complicated and uncomfortable to talk about and understand than erections? To get an erection, your brain, nervous system, heart, blood vessels, and hormones all have to work together in perfect harmony. It can be a lot to ask, and can prove to be more difficult based on a variety of reasons beyond our control. Fact is, more than half of men around the world suffer from some form of erectile dysfunction, and only 25% get help from a doctor. Alpha Nutrition has formulated a proprietary over-the-counter male supplement in rigid prescription that is affordable. Best of all, no embarrassing trip to the doctor is needed. And no need to worry, erectile dysfunction is common, it's easy to treat, and their supplement is extremely affordable and effective. Check this out at alphanutritiononline.com. You can order it at alphanutritiononline.com. All right, welcome back, and let's talk about Sami Zayn a little bit. Come down and or go up, depending on your perspective, something a little bit lighter, right? And that is Sami Zayn, who was recently on a podcast, and Jericho's podcast. He, you know, and this is I'm just reading as I'm speaking to you guys. And you may or may not have already heard about this, but it's interesting that he said on his return, "Oh man, a whole lot's going on, I would say, and nothing all the time. I know that wrestling fans may not want to hear this, but I've loved being off. I think maybe wrestling fans want to hear, like, I can't wait to get back, I miss everything, but I don't know. I had both shoulders operated on, I don't miss it. What's up with that?" Little Hurricane Helms there. "Maybe I'm overstating my lack of desire to return. I do miss performing, but like you said, I've been doing this a long time. We're on the road a lot. I just know that when I'll be back, I'll probably enjoy it, but I'm not sitting there itching and clawing to return, and I don't know that my employer will want to hear this. Like, does this guy not care? But no, I'm not even close to being clear to return. I need a couple more months." So was this a work? I don't think so. I think this is genuine. I think that Sami Zayn is, he's injured. He's had both shoulders operated on. He's, I think, been underutilized. Most of us would feel that way. And so is he a couple months away? Maybe. Maybe he's trolling us and he'll be back at the Rumble. I don't know. So, I mean, I don't know what to make of this. I think that that's a genuine reaction. As far as the couple months, it could be a little bit of a deception there. Wouldn't be surprised if he's, as I said, returned to the Royal Rumble. But that's not something you hear often from WWE wrestlers. Or excuse me, Vince, performers. That's not something you hear. It, you know, you always hear that I'm brushing my ass, I'm in the gym, you know, five times a day, I'm doing physical therapy, I'm eating and breathing and living and thinking about all I can do to get back into the WWE and start kicking ass or performing, as we now say, like a magician. So it's just, I don't hear that often. I've seen a lot of injuries over the years in my, hold on guys, wait, 21, soon to be 22 years that I've been watching WWE. And I've seen a lot of injuries. I've seen a lot of interviews post-injury. And it seems to 99% of the time just be that they're focused on coming back. And all they want to do is come back. And they're obsessed with the idea of getting back and competing. And so I think that if you read between the lines, not only is this a very unique response from a wrestler's perspective that they're not itching to get back, but I think it speaks to the creative right now. It speaks to the creative I think Sami Zayn was frustrated with, not necessarily the injuries that he sustained on both shoulders. That comes with the territory. Sometimes what's uncontrollable is the creative that you're given. And I think Sami Zayn is, without saying it, is saying it that he's not itching to come back because of the environment that he was in. And yeah, the travel, of course, that comes with it. Everyone gets burned out. We all know that, and that's well documented. But I think it's the creative, if you really boil it down, would be the number one culprit of why his desire to return is lackluster at best. So for what it's worth, you know, I think that's something to look into upon Sami Zayn's return. So, guys, this is going to be a what-if segment. I'll get into it in just a minute, but just so you know that this what-if segment will be moving exclusively to the Patreon feed. And it will be moving soon. So I'm giving you guys a taste, a flavor, a bit of a sample, an appetizer, whatever euphemism you and analogy you want to use or my brain can come up with. That's what I'm doing right now, is giving you guys a bit of a taste of the what-if segment. And again, this will be soon I don't know exactly when, but so enjoy it while it's here. The What If segment that really explores, yes, wrestling's past and potential future, as the intro will say, but it's more of a, it's kind of a segment that you can dive into for hours and you can look at and think about, well, wow, what if like Stone Cold never turned heel? What if The Rock never joined the corporation? What if The Undertaker never became the American Badass and just remained his dead man character? You know, tons of different things you can look back in the past or look to in the future. You know, what if The Rock were to return and face Brock Lesnar? You know, what if Austin did have that one last match? I mean, it's really an infinite amount of things that you can discuss, and that's what's great about the segment, because there's no possibilities, there's no limits, and I'm looking for you guys to come on the show. I did tweet out earlier this week that if you're interested in coming on the show to talk about it, to tweet me. And I did get a number of responses, and I'm sifting through it. And I'm going to be not selecting a winner, not that egotistical, but I am going to be looking through the list and chatting with you guys and seeing who's available when and when you can come on the show. As I said, I do love different voices on this show. I've had a number of people on the show. It's always a good time. And so I will be looking through, and as I said, if you reached out to me, you can expect a response. I'll be chatting with you, and we can see what works for you to come on the show, and we can do the what if, right? Maybe the what if. Let's see if this segment takes off. So, all right, without further ado, guys, you know what time it is. It's time for that what if segment.
It's time to explore wrestling's past and potential future with your weekly dose of a segment we call What If, only found here on the WWE Podcast.
All right, guys, let's get into the What If segment. And this week, I'm going to be talking about what if Eddie Guerrero was still alive today, as you guys heard in the very top of the show. Now, Eddie Guerrero, as we all know, passed away in 2005. I'll be honest, I didn't watch much of him in WCW. That's why this is called the WWE Podcast, not the Pro Wrestling Podcast, because I was very loyal to WWE. Now, have I educated myself more since then on WCW and ECW and even some of the Mid-South and Old Territory Day stuff? Yes, I have. But the majority of what I'm going to cover here is WWE, because that's where he was from, not where he's from, but that's where he ended his career. And so, you know, but again, back in 2005, I remember I was in college down in Myrtle Beach, and yeah, Coastal Carolina. I was only there a semester for more than one reason, but that's another story for another podcast, probably one that's not rated PG. And I remember seeing the news. I believe it was on WWE.com of Eddie Guerrero tragic loss, and it had Eddie Guerrero there, his picture, and I'm thinking, is this a joke? Like, is this a storyline? Did I not hit refresh? Is this a mistake? I didn't know what to make of it. And this is before smartphones. This is when you just had your flip phone, and I actually lived through the days of non-smartphone land. And I'm very grateful for it during the high school years, especially with all the drama going on now. And smartphones didn't become a thing until really late 2000s, really, right? 2007, 2008, 2009. By then, I was just graduating college. But nonetheless, so it was before all that. So I didn't know until I popped on my laptop at the time in my dorm. And I'm sitting there and I see this. And it was crazy because I was 20 years old at the time. So do the math. I'm 33 now. But it was weird that it affected me so much that I was like, how, you know, and really it affected me at first. It almost felt like I knew the guy. I didn't know him. I didn't know who he was. I was a fan, right? I was a fan of wrestling. I loved it. You know, especially back in the mid-2000s. I mean, obviously Stone Cold was retired at the time. And if you haven't guessed, he's my all-time favorite. But he just had that a connection with the audience that just cannot be duplicated. I don't care if you got the smartest people in the room writing it. You can't. And so, obviously, on Raw, when they followed up with it, I'll never forget it. I was sitting there watching it after I processed. And again, I saw this story earlier in the day and obviously watched Raw that night. and Vince McMahon's out on stage and all the wrestlers are on stage, and Vince McMahon, I'll never forget, standing there, and he said Eddie Guerrero has passed away, and they tolled the bell, and you know, it was just, I remember seeing people crying in the audience, and I'm sitting there crying like a baby. I'm sitting there crying along with him. And then they play that music video of Eddie Guerrero and with his wife and his kids. And it was almost like I lost somebody I knew. It was, and obviously we've seen, you know, deaths after that. They've done tribute shows. We don't, I mean, Chris Benoit, but that's a whole nother issue that, yeah, right. I mean, we don't talk about, right. It's like the unspoken one, right. Before they did a tribute show, before they knew everything and that came to light. And there's been tribute shows before and after that, but nothing quite like that. Owen Hart was special, but it didn't have that, for me, that connection that Eddie Guerrero had. And I don't know why it affected me so much. I have no idea. My speculation is that he just had such an organic connection that I didn't realize was so strong until he was gone. I mean, I'm acting like, oh my God, you're upset over somebody you never met. And it was a wrestler that was on screen that you never even talked to, didn't know, but you were just crying over his character. No, that's what the crazy thing is. I didn't give about his character but come on, his character was one of the greatest of all time, especially towards the latter end of his career. Just, oh, such a dynamic personality. It wasn't that. It was just the man behind it that somehow I felt like I knew. It was bizarre. And I think many other people felt that way. You know, when you hear people on Twitter that still talk about it, you know, obviously on any kind of social media platform, everybody's just sad still about Eddie. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's one of those things that you just can't explain. But nonetheless, enough of my sap story. So what if Eddie Guerrero had not died? I mean, I think if Eddie Guerrero had not died, I think he would have continued his career, clearly. At the time, I believe his final match was with Mr. Kennedy and did his lie, cheating, and stealing gimmick and ended up getting, I think, Mr. Kennedy disqualified after he threw the chair to Mr. Kennedy and pretended he was knocked out. And I mean, you can just YouTube his final match. I think it would have continued maybe another 5 years. You know, he wasn't exactly a young guy at the time when he died. He probably would have continued another 5 years, maybe a little more, and go on kind of a more part-time schedule. You know, obviously he was doing, you know, or at least he was, his body was feeling the effects of all of the drug abuse and alcohol abuse from years past. But given he had not died and could just continued his life, I think, well, for number one, I don't think Vicky Guerrero would have become the sensation that she was as SmackDown Live general manager. So there's that. But I think that his terms of his career, you know, if he had, say, gone to 2010, he probably would have done a hell of a program with John Cena. As John Cena was really just starting to come through the real fast track to success at the time. You know, obviously, we all know when John Cena debuted in 2002. But I think he would have had a hell of a program with John Cena. A hell of a title run. Yes, he beat Brock Lesnar at No Way Out just before WrestleMania. That infamous WrestleMania 20. When Brock Lesnar ended up leaving, Goldberg ended up leaving, the whole nonsense of a match. And that I'll never forget. Goldberg interfered, but Eddie Guerrero became champion. That's a moment I'll never forget. But had he continued, I think he would have had a second reign. Could have easily been the face of WWE. I think he was really starting to just really catch fire, I think, at the time. And his whole Latino heat, he came out in his, you know, his hydraulic sports car, whatever it was. And he had a presence, and it just could make you feel all ranges of emotion. I mean, hate him, love him, laugh with him. He was the, what you want a pro wrestler to be. Because he could make you feel everything. He could be the heel. He could be the good guy. And he could do them both damn well. So, I think Eddie, as I said, would have had a hell of a run. Especially in the later years, or especially, say, what if he was wrestling today? Let's take it further. Boy, if he was wrestling today, and you took the Eddie Guerrero in his prime and stuck him in 2018, 2019, this guy, I think without question, could be the face of any brand, Raw or SmackDown. And think of the talent he could work with now. Think of the talent. Obviously, you got Daniel Bryan. Okay, you have Randy Orton, but he's more of a legacy, never go past third year kind of star at this point, let's be honest. The whole NXT roster, basically. Kevin Owens would have been a blast, I think. I mean, now it would have been a lot of fun to see Eddie Guerrero in 2018, 2019. Obviously, even if he was still alive, no way he'd be wrestling at this point, I think, due to age. I mean, maybe a one-off. But if you took him and stuck him in 2018, 2019, it'd be a blast. I think it'd be a lot of fun to see what he would do with all, and his gimmick would work. You know why it worked? Because it was still PG and it fit. And it doesn't everything have to be cussing, bleeding, sex, and violence. It worked for even the TV-14 era. And it works today. It still would work. But that smile he would give, he was in great shape, he gave good promos, passionate promos, could be nasty and vile when he wanted to be the heel. If I remember correctly, I believe at the time, I know his last match was with Mr. Kennedy, but he had also been kind of flipping back and forth with Batista, trying to get Batista to trust him, and Batista didn't, thinking that he was still lying, cheating, and stealing, and I believe Eddie was still on the good side of things and trying to gain the trust of Batista. So, I mean, it's a gimmick that no one else can duplicate, or at least not well. So that's my thoughts on Eddie Guerrero in 2018, 2019. And if he hasn't passed, it's a shame. It really was. And, but again, I guess the only good thing that came out of it, if you look at it that way, was the extension of him through Vicky. And the long run she had as SmackDown Live general manager. And whether you love her or didn't, she made an impact. She is on your top 10 list of SmackDown Live general managers. Or at least ones that you remember. And you got Teddy Long. Stephanie was one at one time. Or for a long time she was. Vicky's up there. I mean, she just has to be. Top 5, top 3 for most. Even if you hate, excuse me, all that. I mean, she made that a catchphrase, and it stuck. She had a naturally obnoxious voice. And she was a great tribute to Eddie Guerrero, I believe, a great extension of him through her. So that's the one shining, I guess, bright spot in that whole dark cloud of Eddie passing. I'm not trying to bring you guys down. I'm just trying to maybe jog your memory. Where were you? What were you doing when you found out about Eddie Guerrero? Did you have that same connection? Did you feel that same way? Or was I just an over-emotional 20-year-old goof? I mean, who knows? I grew sideburns like The Rock, like a jackass, all right? I did. My God, the things that I can tell you, just hours of things that I did. From 13 to 25 regarding wrestling. I mean, it impacted my life in such a crazy way and still does. And I know there are many of you are fans out there that you get fans or friends that rip on you for being a pro wrestling fan. Oh, you like that fake stuff. Do you like movies? You like TV shows? Yeah, you like fake stuff too. I mean, that's really the end of arguments. But the things I've done, maybe I'll make that my next show or something. I don't know. I know that Raw is going on as I record this right now, so I haven't seen anything. I know I've heard some bits and pieces of John Cena speaking with Becky Lynch for SmackDown Live, and I'm sure I'll have a lot to talk about that in the coming days. But, I mean, I've done things like to win tickets to No Mercy 2000 when Stone Cold faced Rikishi. I went to a local amusement park and basically had an impromptu wrestling match with my brother on stage that ended up with me giving him the stink face and a Stone Cold Stunner. It won me the tickets. I dressed up as The Rock numerous, more times than I'd like to admit, thinking I was The Rock. Not really. I'm not mentally incapacitated, but I mean, that's what I did. I grew my sideburns out like him. I had the people's eyebrow. Just so many different things. I can't tell you how many stunners I've given people in school. I had friends that were wrestling fans too. When wrestling was hot, we had a wrestling faction called ESW, East Side Wrestling, that we just basically threw out some old mattresses, had somebody record, and we'd put on a match and just do imitation moves. And we had some hilarious gimmicks. I mean, we had a blast. I mean, I can sit here trying to make, you know, have some self-deprecating fun of myself at everything, and I don't think that's okay. I look back at it and I go, man, that was a blast. It really was. And there are all YouTube videos out there somewhere. Maybe I'll give you the links to those at some point. Maybe I'll give you we'll see. They're out there. They're floating out there. Trust me. I had a whole ring name and all that stuff. And, let's just say I was a Stone Cold ripoff to a T. The cutoff jeans that didn't really fit, the knee brace that I had to borrow from somebody that was actually injured, that I asked them if I can borrow their $1,000 knee brace so I looked like Stone Cold. At the time, I couldn't legally buy booze, so I would purchase Sprite, which looked like the next best thing. Or I would run into my friend's house in his father's basement and run and steal beer just so I could pretend to be Stone Cold. I still have the shirt that I made to this day for my own gimmick. I had my own shirt made that's held up all these years. I got my girlfriends at the time involved in it. It was just a blast, an absolute blast. So now I'm going off the rails, but maybe I'll do a little more in detail on that and give you guys those all important YouTube video links that are so embarrassing, but awesome at the same time. So, all right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm going to head out now. And if you guys want to reach out to me, please, the WWE podcast is where you do it. Or just email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. You can also tweet me. As I said, probably the best way to do it is tweet me, because sometimes an email is a bit of a hit and miss game. You can also check me out on Spreaker, on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts. Please give me that 5-star review. It does help out the show. And again, if you hate ads, go to patreon.com/WWE podcast. I know there's been a few in this show, but if you want them all removed, that's your place to do it. So guys, again, Happy New Year to everybody. This is the final broadcast of 2018. And I will see you when the new year starts in 2019. Take care, everybody. Hey guys, so is there anything more complicated and uncomfortable to talk about and understand than erections? To get an erection, your brain, nervous system, heart, blood vessels, and hormones all have to work together in perfect harmony. It can be a lot to ask, and can prove to be more difficult based on a variety of reasons beyond our control. Fact is, more than half of men around the world suffer from some form of erectile dysfunction, and only 25% get help from a doctor. Alpha Nutrition has formulated a proprietary over-the-counter male supplement in rigid prescription that is affordable. Best of all, no embarrassing trip to the doctor is needed. And no need to worry, erectile dysfunction is common, it's easy to treat, and their supplement is extremely affordable and effective. Check this out at alphanutritiononline.com. You can order it at alphanutritiononline.com.